BadgerCast, number 23.
Straight from southeastern Wisconsin, bringing you your slice of Badgerland, welcome to BadgerCast. And now your host, Julie and Dale.
Hey, a freak show!
Hello and welcome to BadgerCast, your slice of Wisconsin life. I'm Dale.
And I'm Julie.
And it's been 2.5 weeks since our last podcast. It seems like a month.
But it does, and it must seem like a month to a couple other people, too.
We've done a lot in August.
So far. It's only half over.
No, it's a little bit more than half over.
Well.
It's
a brown half over.
All right, it's the 19th, for those of you playing at home. And for those of you who are new to the show, welcome. And those of you who are returning, welcome back. And we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And it all started after our last show. So why don't you take it away?
Where do you want me to start from the last show?
We went to Atlanta.
Yes, we did. We had three action-packed, fast days.
Yes.
Because we left. At 6 something in the morning, which meant we were at the airport by 4.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was early, early morning.
It was.
But what did we do the day before on our unexpected day off without kids?
It's been so long, I don't know. What did we do?
Went on a bike ride.
Oh, that's right. You pretty much kept up with me.
Well, within about 5 minutes or so.
I can't remember how many miles we did. 40?
We did 28.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 28.
We went on the Glacial Drumlin bike trail. Now I have to put that in the show notes.
Uh-huh. And we started off in Waukesha, and we biked from Waukesha to Sullivan.
No, we didn't go that far.
I thought we went to Sullivan. We went to the end of the paved trail.
Which is in Dousman.
Just past Dousman. Yeah.
So approximately 14 miles each way.
It was. I have the little bike odometer.
Okay. I like approximates, okay? Makes me sound better than I actually am.
Oh, no, I don't like the approximation. We did 28 miles. Uh-huh. And you did keep up.
Of course I did.
Yeah, there was a little complaining afterwards, but...
Oh, well, my butt was sore. For those of you following me on Twitter, I Twittered to that fact.
Uh-huh.
That my butt was very sore.
Yeah, there's gel padding in your future if you want to do more.
In the seat or in my butt?
Whatever you want.
All right. So, the unexpected day off and bike ride was provided by your mom, who went and...
Well, she was coming back from Chicago, so rather than drive past us without doing anything, she stopped at our house, picked up the kids, and went to her house a day before we had planned and taking them away, or carting them off, or...
Whatever.
Yeah.
So then we went to Atlanta.
Yes.
We had an early flight.
Yeah.
And we got there on time.
We did.
And we rented a car from Enterprise Rental.
Yeah, PT Cruiser.
So what did you think of the PT Cruiser?
I'm a little too close to the ground in a PT Cruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And normal car, for those of you who don't remember or don't listen, is a Chevy Suburban. Big difference. Although, turning radius when you make a wrong turn and need to turn around, a lot different.
And not that didn't happen a few times?
Well, you know, I would have to blame that on my navigator.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought I did darn well given the fact that I was doing this
from the
iPhone.
The Atlanta Freeway has 6 different lanes. Uh-huh.
Yes, and a spaghetti interchange.
And the spaghetti interchange and their... What would it be? I don't want to say exactly turnoffs, but the way their flow of traffic goes when you're going on to a different highway or interstate or whatever is the opposite of what it is around here.
Yeah, what they try to do around here is to get rid of left-hand off-ramps.
Yeah.
Or emerging ramps. So now everything is off to the right and then swings way around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the Spaghetti Interchange is a little bit like that, but not everywhere.
There was a lack of signage to me, although maybe you made a good point that maybe we have too many signs in Wisconsin. There's between the sign you see and what you need to do is pretty short, I thought, driving through Atlanta. And around here, you have several signs before you end up doing what you're needing to do, so you have time to, say, get from the far right lane to the far left lane, or the middle lane, or whatever the heck it may be.
Yeah, I've counted signs before. I mean, I'm a dork, and I'm a geek, and I'm boring. So I've counted signs at intersections in Wisconsin.
Oh, you have?
Yes. So on a...
Since the Atlanta
trip? No, before this. Uh-huh. Let's just say the normal country inner, not even a freeway, but just a country road with a controlled intersection with signs and markings and such, I counted 150 signs, posts, separate posts in that one intersection.
A little excessive.
But
anyway, I did survive Atlanta traffic.
Actually, she did awesome driving in Atlanta traffic. I was passable as a navigator.
And I had a tag along.
Yes. Well, let's get to that in a minute. We got to Atlanta around 10 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got our bearings and had a little quick breakfast at McDonald's just to get out of the airport to get our bearings. And we went first off to the CNN Center.
Yeah, I've decided the CNN Center, nobody wants to be there when the power goes out. Nobody wants to be an IT or electrician if the power ever goes out there. Way too many cables and monitors and laptops and what have you.
Absolutely. And
not to mention that it'll take you far more to get through their security than it did airport security.
We went to the CNN tour, the guided tour. And for those of you who are not aware of where the CNN Tower in Atlanta, or center is in Atlanta, it was in the old Omni Center. And the old Omni Center had an 8-story escalator.
It still has.
It still has.
The world's largest freestanding escalator that pretty much means that there's no support post coming down to the ground. It's just supported on the...
on the side.
On the sides from floor to where it ends.
Right. So, but at that point, before it was the CNN Center, it was a large indoor amusement park, and that was one of the attractions was the escalator.
Yes.
So anyway, we went to see the CNN tour, and you go up, well, first of all, you get frisked, practically get frisked, excuse me, and go through metal detectors, blah, blah, blah. And then you go up the escalator, and then you go into a mock-up of the control room for CNN, and they tell you how a director does his thing, and the technical director, and all the people that make the show.
Right, because she showed the screen had, God, I don't even remember how many. It had to be 50 different little subscreens on that screen. You had the main part, but then all around the edges, you had all the feeds coming in as they were lined up in the order they should go. So, like, if you're looking at the bottom, you could have had 6 different view panels there with each thing ready to go in the queue. And then you had another something on the other side, like they're waiting for something. Yes, you just gave us a strange look while I was talking.
You're bouncing, man. You're bouncing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It was my elbow. Excuse my elbow. So yeah, it was very busy. I don't know. I would find it difficult to work and do that, but the people that have the knack for it obviously do, because you had so much going on.
Right. And one of the things they said that, you know, the mean time between changes was about 3 seconds. You never were on any one particular scene or screen for about more than 3 seconds without some sort of visual change, you know, whether there be a graphic added or a, you know, just a new cut or a new shot.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's going, all right, I want to see cut 3 and I want to see cut 5. I want to see, it's like, and then, you know, they take a break during the commercials and breathe.
Uh-huh.
So after you saw how they did the control room, then you went down into a mock-up of the weather studio.
Yes.
Where they showed you how to do chroma key.
I think it was chrome key.
Yeah. Technology, which is basically green screen stuff. And then...
they gave away the secret to Harry Potter.
Well, of course. He was green screened.
He was.
And then you had the opportunity to have your picture taken and buy it, but we didn't. Chose not to.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get suckered into that.
And then the next step was down into kind of the overlook of the CNN main studio.
That was busy. Interesting. And she said it was a slow day. I can't imagine that room and the noise level on a busy news day. Because they have 3 basic areas. Four. You have the person who's on screen at the desk reporting.
Right.
And behind that person, then you have 3 other areas. You have the area that has the incoming news. You have the next area that sits and... does the research behind that and what's the word I want?
Kind of the producers?
No.
Legal?
Verifies. Yeah, the legal department verifies their information. Then the third part is the people who put it all together and get it in the queue for the person who's at the desk reporting.
Plus they had on the side, kind of off to the side, the weather station.
Yes, they did. So on that day, there had to be, and she said slow, there had to be 30 people there.
Well, and it was also lunch hour, and we did it around noon, so.
But she also said full people in that room?
300.
300. I can't imagine.
And one of the things that from a technical side, it's like there's a lot of mishmash of technology in that room.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of old monitors and new monitors. And
Yeah. And everybody at least had one, it looked like 2 computers and maybe a monitor to look at.
At least each one workstation. Monitor, because some had the, what I equate, I don't know the name of them, like the old security monitors where you can view 3 or 4 different views in addition to the computer monitor.
Right. So, you know, it looks highly more impressive on television because when you looked at it, it was kind of junky.
Yes, it did.
So... then we went to see the Headline News studio, which was a floor down, the newsroom, which is similar but smaller. And then we went and saw the Headline News studio, which is one big room. And she said that they built it with they had a branding change in Headline News. It's now called HLN.
Whatever.
And anyway, they created this one studio where all they did was... each corner had a different look, so all they did was turn as their days went on. They went from like the morning studio to the afternoon studio to the evening studio, which was all essentially the same room, just the cameras pointing in a different direction.
Cost savings, didn't she say? So they didn't have to set up 3 other studios?
Yeah, I don't quite remember that, but I thought it was cool.
I thought she did. Anyway.
So... that was the CNN studio tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did we do?
Then we went outside and we kind of walked around Centennial Park. And
which was cool.
Yes, it was. We had, it was a really cool park. Divided up into a couple different areas. I mean, they had a nice kids' little area where they had the fountain water shooting up out of the ground for them to play in. The kids were having fun. It was a hot, well, hot for us, 90-some degree day. You had a outdoor pavilion. You could sit outside and have lunch, but it had like a canvas area over the top, so you were in the shade. They had different water things, like the running... what's the word I want?
Waterfall?
Waterfall, thank you. And then they had a couple kids' play areas and just areas where you could sit in shade and benches. It was laid out very cool. And then we walked by the World of Coke.
And we did get a picture with the Coke dude, the bronzed Coke dude.
Yeah,
the inventor of Coke. I don't know what his name is.
Stand there because it was bronze and it was hot, and you put your hand on there to lean against for a picture, and you're like, "Ow!"
So we heard later that it was not, unless you liked Coke a lot, it wasn't worth the $15.
No, it was more than $15.
I thought it was 15.
20 some.
Yeah.
Thought it was 23.
I thought it was 15 a person.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. Didn't appeal to me since I've given up the carbonated beverages now for, what, 3 years, so.
So we didn't go to the World of Coke. So that'll be the next time, perhaps.
Maybe.
And then after that, we went and met Tim and Nanette.
Yes, we did. Very, very nice people. Very hospitable. Made us feel very good.
Yes, it was a wonderful time. And if you don't know who Tim and Nanette are, they are the host of the For Whatever Reason podcast.
Hold on one sec. Kitty's youth.
So where were we?
If you don't know who Tim and Nanette are, you need to check out the For Whatever Reason podcast. If I remember correctly, at forwhateverreason.net.
Correct. We met them at their house and then came back downtown and met up.
We did, because we met up. Well, we did meet up a little while later with Charlie White, who is probably known to people who either listen to Two Guys, One Brain and Bear Quarreling, and maybe even the Jen and Dave show.
And the For Whatever Reason show.
And that one, too. Mm-hmm. And we all met, and we went out to the aquarium. And they had Fridays through the summer, they had a jazz program. So the expectation was that we'd be able to sit there and listen to jazz for the evening. Not quite what I expected. They did have jazz, but they really didn't have a place to sit unless you paid an exorbitant fee to eat their food. So it was more, we got to listen as we walked around the aquarium. And the aquarium was great.
That is an awesome aquarium. I read an article that it has the most volume of water of any aquarium in the world.
You were also saying that the one tank, and I can't remember.
6.3 million gallons.
Which was more water than you said in the total shut aquarium.
Correct.
And that would be in Chicago. And we had we sat there 15, 20 minutes, the five of us, just watching the fish go around.
It was like a fish IMAX.
Yes, it was. Uh-huh.
And we saw Gracie the otter. And there's a wonderful video that Tim and Nanette from For Whatever Reason put together and put on their site, which we will link to.
Yes, we will.
BadgerCast.com of our adventures at the aquarium and Gracie the otter's moment of zen.
Yes.
Kind of goes like this.
Yes, it
That's
does.
A little preview. Check it out.
Okay.
Okay, so that was Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Do we want to take a break and then talk about Saturday and Sunday?
Sounds good.
All right. We have from my Twitter feed and from the Aerial Publicity, a group called Loomis and the Lust.
Loomis and the what?
Loomis and the Lust from, I think, Santa Barbara, California. And their song, Break on Love, on the BadgerCast. Loomis and the Lust from Aerial Publicity.
Catchy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
we, Saturday.
Saturday. Well, we came back on Friday and chit-chatted and stuff.
Yeah, there's another video from For Whatever Reason that kind of links to Friday night. And that would be the Bottoms Up.
Yep.
Yeah. Check it out.
We'll put that one on the show notes as well.
Uh-huh.
So Saturday, we were treated
to breakfast.
To breakfast.
Awesome breakfast.
Yes. Nanette makes the best biscuits in Georgia.
I'd venture to say the world. Topped with the homemade peach preserves or the homemade fig preserves.
And the homemade strawberry preserves.
No, those were good too, but... I'm kind of torn between the fig and the peach.
I like the fig the best.
I'm leaning more towards the peach. Mm-hmm. They were awesome.
Yes.
That was after I did get up and I ventured into the neighborhood for a walk.
I know. I was such a slug. I did keep Nanette company while she made the awesome biscuits.
Uh-huh. Because Charlie and Tim went out for a run, too. I shouldn't say two because I walked, they ran. But yes. And then from the awesome breakfast, the three of us, you, I, and Charlie,
made our way out to the bear crawling
compound
100th episode extravaganza.
Yes. And I don't know, we got out there.
Probably around 3-ish.
Somewhere around 3. And had a great night. We got to meet many different people that we've listened to and talked to over the internet for, gosh, going on almost
about
a year.
Yeah.
There was intern Alex. There was world traveler Jim. There was Spaz and his wife. Let's see, who else was there? Aaron, Big C's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Their two kids who are adorable. I kind of was a hit with them for the first little bit because they were looking at pictures that I had. There's so many people I can't think
of. Yeah, we'll probably miss people's, but Brad from the Thin Ice podcast.
I did not get to meet him. You did.
Yes.
Who else was there? Lycanthropic one. Mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And Backwoods Misfit, which was Nicole.
So basically the regulars in the chat room for the Bear Crawling Show.
Pretty much. We had a good time. We had a really good time. Erin did a phenomenal job putting everything together. Kept asking her what she wanted. She wouldn't let anybody help her. She did an awesome, awesome job.
Yes. It was fun. It was very memorable, and we got lovely parting gifts.
We did. I've even worn my bear crawling t-shirt.
I have too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tired when we left. We left a little after midnight.
Yeah, because we all got to talking.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things that I saw and you saw were the Georgia Department of Public Works or whomever paving the freeway
at 1
in the morning.
On our way home, or I should say on our way back to the hotel, we took a couple unexpected detours. There were no signs up when we left to say anything about anything being closed down. So as we're coming back through, number one, there was a detour around, was it Conyers? Conyers?
Something like that.
So you ended up downtown in like a square area and said it was detoured and it told you to go right, but then there was no other follow detour sign. So it was trying to find our way back on to whatever Georgia route we were on. Took us a couple turns to figure out that. Then when we finally got back on the actual expressway, our exit to the hotel was completely blocked off. They were repaving the road there, and there was no sign up to say, like, beforehand to get off at this exit or afterwards to get off at this exit. So we're barreling down the road and we're like, okay, let's take the next exit and hope, or I should say the next open exit, and hope that the frontage road that we saw partially went the whole way through. Again, took a chance, and it was actually the frontage road, but it wasn't labeled the frontage road. And if you wanted to attempt to go through and get off at one of the ramps you thought you could sneak through, think again, because there was a Georgia State Patrol officer at each exit.
There are road construction here is like a lot of barrels and no work. This was a lot of barrels, a lot of work, a lot of cops all over the place.
And they were gone.
By morning,
because when we left to go back into town, there was hardly any remnants of them. I think they were working a little further down the road, but nothing in comparison to what had gone on in the evening or the early morning.
Yep. So I guess most of the road work in Georgia happens in the middle of the night.
Gee, I wonder why. Dingling.
So Sunday.
Sunday we got up. Met Charlie at the hotel, and then we boogied back to Atlanta, and we got to experience.
Hey, hey, what do you want? What do you want? What do you have? What do you have? The Varsity.
The Varsity. Uh-huh. Very good.
It's one of those experiences that only can happen in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. I really like the, what did I have? The orange something soda. It was more like a...
It was like an orange shake.
No, it really wasn't a shake. It was more like a frosty type of thing.
Yes, and Nanette's probably going to say, well, it was labeled an FO, but I don't... Frozen orange?
Oh, frosted orange.
All right.
It was very good. Their onion rings were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meandered back to the airport.
Yeah, because Julie misread her stuff. I thought the plane was leaving at 4. The plane left at 6:20.
So we meandered and spent more time at the airport than we thought we would. But mm-hmm. the good
yeah,
thing
we
is...
we spent it with Charlie. Got to talking.
We got to spend it with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, we have a plethora of voicemails. Now, are we going to go into... I think we're going to bypass, since we're already at about 40 minutes. Or we can come back to the normal segments later. But we have voicemail.
Okay.
We got lots of voicemail.
I'm being told that you wouldn't let me listen to them.
Well, yeah. I don't have them all that organized, so...
That wasn't the reason I heard you say.
Well, I don't want you to hear everything.
He wants
you to be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Who are we starting off with?
We're going to start off with our new friend.
Yeah.
Charlie.
Hi. I'm just wondering if you know who this is.
Of course I do.
I recently met you in the beautiful green metropolis known as Atlanta, Georgia. Just before I got on the plane, I told you that I had never listened to BadgerCast.
True.
But I was about to start. I just listened to episode number 20. Oh, you guys work great together. I just want you to know that. This is Charlie from Englewood. And to all the rest of you, thanks for listening. It's well worth it, isn't it?
Thank you,
thanks,
Charlie. But not to be outdone, he called back.
Oh, he did.
Julie, Dale, Charlie White. Listen to 20, 21, 22. I like it, but I have to admit, I didn't know what the badger part of it meant. One of our managers here at the company I work for, his nickname is Badger, and the reason he's called Badger is because he'll just badger somebody until they give in to his will, which means I just stay out of his way. Just kidding. I didn't know that Wisconsin was known to have a connotation with badger. Excellent podcast. Really liked it. Really like you too. I am so glad we met. I'll talk to you later. And I certainly will listen. Thanks.
I think that Charlie needs to watch some college football so he can see Bucky Badger.
Yes, you have to see Bucky Badger before you die. Let's see. So anyway, that was Charlie who sent us two wonderful voicemails.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. We got some more. Do you want to just go through voicemail?
Let's just finish them all.
All right. We have one from our friend Shelley.
We do?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hey, Dale and Julie, it's Shelley. I don't know if I am raising the gauntlet or throwing it down, but regarding radio stations, another exception that proves the rule and also proves barely wronger than wrong can be. is WOAI in San Antonio, both the radio and a TV station. That station was founded, and I did have to look this part up, although I'm really familiar with WOAI because it's a Clear Channel station. I don't mean Clear Channel, the company, although they were owned by them, are owned by them now, but it is a Clear Channel station that can be heard all over North America. It's one of those stations that if you listen really late at night, probably from a long distance, you can hear. And WOAI was founded in 1922 and was grandfathered in before the FCC created the West of Mississippi, East of Mississippi, K versus W rules, and I guess since the radio station came along and had the same call letters, they got to be grandfathered in as well. So here's your gauntlet. Bye.
I consider that you and I, together with Dale, putting Barely in his place. Take that, Barely.
All right. Let's see what else we have. Somebody from...
I'm sorry, my elbow keeps hitting the table.
Somebody from the corn, from the fields of corn.
From the fields of corn? Amy or Matt?
Chimes in about technology.
Matt.
Hey, guys, it's Matt. Now I think maybe you're talking too much. kind of good. Although I could do with a little bit less gloating over the new iPhone 32 gig, blah, blah, blah. Dale, come on, man. You need to step up. The
no,
man
it doesn't.
Of the house gets the cool toys.
Nope.
You gotta correct this. I don't know what to tell you, man. But anyway, you kids keep it real, and I'll holler at you later. Red Boy, Cornfields, out.
Bye. Thanks, Matt.
I am reminded. Oh, no. I am reminded of who put this household through many things. And who was that?
That would be the person that pays the bills?
Uh-uh.
That would be you?
Uh-huh.
Why would that be you?
Because when we first got married...
Oh, no, this is going to get slapped in my face. I went back to school.
Yes. Well,
and because I went back to school, I was got a better job and could afford a heck of a lot more than I could with the job I had. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
but...
That put me... Having to put everybody...
Everybody through, was you and me at
well,
the
Well, whatever. Put me in the position of making sure everything got done and stuff. So it was really... It's my payback.
You got paid back a lot.
I can keep getting paid back.
Okay.
So my payback for putting you back through school and doing all that. So if I can get the 32 gig iPhone... There it goes. I earned it.
Besides the fact she was up for renewal anyway.
That too. Anyway.
All right. Let's see.
That was probably more talking. He didn't like that.
I can play another song. Nah.
Mm. Okay.
We have one more from Tim.
Wow. This is a voicemail.
This is a voicemail marathon show.
Hey, Dale and Julie, it's Tim. I was just calling to see if you had gotten your car problems resolved yet. I know I had emailed you guys about it. You know, James had an anti-lock brake problem, and basically what had happened was one of the sensors got loose somehow, and the backs of the wheels were kicking it around and tearing it up. So that was pretty easy to find and diagnose on our own. But hopefully your mechanic has found what your problem was. We want you guys to be safe and all that good stuff. And speaking of safe, I wanted to call and say that I hope you had a great and safe time on your trip to Georgia. Fantastic show. Can't wait for the next BadgerCast, and we'll talk at you later. Bye.
Thanks, Tim. I wish I could say we had it all taken care of, but at least I know that, A, I have brakes at work. The anti-lock sensor does still go off.
Occasionally.
The last time it went off, it went off where I was near enough to the service station so that I could bring it in and have them look at it. And it is the modulator thing that you were talking about. But he would have to take it apart and do stuff. But as long as I know I have brakes, I'm just back to the, quote, old brakes, as in, like, the regular disc brakes I learned to drive with. I can handle those. It'll stay that way. Because we have a bigger problem to fix, which is Dale's truck, which has a, what did I call it? It's the lower bracket of the wheel.
I could be really dirty. It's a bad ball joint.
The ball joint, yes. That's it. That needs to be fixed first. Then I can get my
lower ball
ABS.
Joint
oh, shut up. Then I can get the other thing fixed. You need to stop. You're just as bad as your son. Okay, onward.
All right. The last voicemail from Manager John, who tells us about the... If you were listening to the last show, number 22, we received a package from Manager John, included with it a very nice jade dragon, which was the show art.
Uh-huh.
And he in this clip... tells us exactly how he got it for us.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, Julius, manager John. Whistler, you were asking where it was. Whistler is here in British Columbia. It's the site of the 2010 Whymper Olympics. I got the soap from this little site just a little bit south of Whistler called Squamish, where they actually filmed the mine scene from Scooby-Doo, the first one. And it was, they've also filmed, I think, Supernatural there as well, a couple episodes. But yeah, it's very close to us here, and it's a very popular spot for skiing and what have you. And well, now with the Olympics, it's going to have all kinds of new facilities as well. The funny thing, where I picked up that Jill Jade Dragon was just downtown, about maybe 5 blocks from where our hotel was, just in downtown Hong Kong there. And it's funny, as we were walking along, we weren't quite at the gift shop where I got that, but we were walking along, there was a little bit of construction, there's construction all over the place, and even at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was people everywhere. We were walking along, and I saw a couple things dropping from trees. I just felt it was leaves. There's just little trees in the middle of all these buildings. And one hit my, about sort of hit my hair, and I sort of brushed it off and didn't think much of it. We were walking and just enjoying the sights and the hot, steamy air and the smells of Hong Kong at night. And all of a sudden, I felt something running across the back of my shoulders. And I quickly brushed it off, thinking it must be a spider or something. And this huge cockroach, about the size of my thumb, just basically hit the ground and started running and ran right towards Charlene's feet. And Charlene screamed and started dancing around. And these three old ladies, I guess, were playing cards or something, sitting against the wall. Started laughing, and then they saw it, and then they started screaming, and then we just sort of laughed at them, and off it went. But these giant cockroaches were all over the place, and they were all over the construction site, and it wasn't until after we saw that and had that incident that we started seeing them everywhere. So it's one of the not nice things about downtown Hong Kong. But anyway, then we found the Jade Dragon, and that's the story of the Jade Dragon. So. No cockroaches were harmed in the obtaining of the Jade Dragon, so we're all right there. So, anyway, that's the story. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you.
Ew. Ugh, I hate cockroaches.
Thank you, John, for that wonderful story. You know, if you don't do a podcast, can you do segments for our show?
I think he does segments for anybody's show he calls into. I want to know what the last audio part was in the back. Was it?
The music?
The music, yeah.
I don't know. It sounded kind of like Harry Potter-ish almost.
Almost. So Manager John can call back and say where it was.
Yes.
Because I like listening to it.
Mm-hmm. So thank you once again.
But I will not ever equate the Jade Dragon to cockroaches. I can't.
It's too nice.
I'll prefer to think of it as this. It'll ward them off. Here.
It wards off cockroaches. There you go. We'll put it in the ad.
Do we have any more voicemail?
No, I think we've exhausted our voicemails.
Wow, that's like a record for us.
It is.
I liked it. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more comment, Manager John. Whipper? I distinctly thought I heard you
say the Whymper Olympics.
Whymper or Whipper Olympics?
Well,
it was funny. Sorry.
I think we're going to skip. I mean, the only two things that I had for Wisconsin facts or interesting things is that the mayor of the city of Milwaukee made national news.
He's not our mayor.
I know.
We have a village president.
The mayor of the city of Milwaukee,
Tom Barrett,
was attacked trying to defend a grandmother and a baby against the...
He physically actually did something?
Yeah, he was trying to stop a domestic squabble outside on the city street as he's walking from State Fair Park.
I don't follow that very much, but for him to actually, I give him credit because I think most elected officials would have backed off.
He called 911, or I think he actually had his niece call 911 as he attempted to prevent the altercation.
So what happened?
The guy had a pipe
Ooh, metal pipe?
Yep. Barrett was, let's see what it says here. He said the beating occurred on Saturday after he left the Wisconsin State Fair in West Dallas with his family. The Barretts were walking down the street towards their car when they heard a woman screaming for someone to call 911. She was holding a baby. And he initially thought the baby was hurt. He grabbed the phone and called for help. Within seconds, he realized that the problem was not with the baby, but with the man. And he came up and was very, very agitated. And the events took off very, very quickly, according to Barrett. Police arrested Anthony Peters, 20, on Sunday, a day after he attacked the woman and then charged at Barrett and attacked him with a metal pipe. Peters has not yet been charged. Barrett said he also suffered cuts from the top of the top and back of his head and had a sore mouth. He would not elaborate on the attack because of the pending criminal case. If you see a picture of him, he's got a cut from the top of his nose all the way down his lip like this.
Oh.
Yeah. He lost a couple teeth and crushed something.
Again, I applaud him. I don't necessarily agree with his politics, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he's a pretty liberal Democrat. But
to step up to the plate and do something instead of walking away like I think 90% of the other people would, and that's not even elected officials. I think that's just 90% of people in general would have walked away.
Right. So we wish him well in a speedy recovery.
Yes, we do.
And secondly, and lastly, in the Superior Telegram, which was the one I picked to cover the state story, Governor Doyle, I'm not going to pull a Brett Favre.
I'm rolling my eyes so that you know.
Governor Jim Doyle on Monday announced he would not seek a third term as the state
Thank
top
the Lord.
Elected official during a press conference in Madison. When I first ran for governor in 2002, Jessica and I, Doyle said, assumed that if I was fortunate enough to be elected, it would be a two-term commitment, Doyle said in a prepared statement Monday. As I have thought long and hard about this decision, I have come back to this starting point. As much as I love the job, as hard as I work at it, and as much as my team and I would have to contribute to in a third term, I believe that a governor should limit him or herself to two terms. So I even though I really despise our governor, I applaud him for that. That takes a bit of more discipline than other governors of our state have had in the past.
Who have taken term after term after term. And it's not that I disagree completely with his or Barrett's politics. Those two in particular I don't care for. There have been other Democratic people that I would sooner see in office than those two.
So we'll have a very interesting 2010.
Yes, we will.
The governor in Wisconsin is elected on the off year of the presidential election. So 2010 is a gubernatorial election year. So now it's a wide open field, and we don't really talk politics on BadgerCast, so...
No, you're going to drop it right now.
We'll drop it right now. So...
You have another song to play as a break, or do you want to end?
Well, I think it's time. We should probably wrap it up, and I'll have a song on the way out. But if you'd like to call, like Charlie and Shelley...
Manager John and Matt and Tim from Tastes Like Burning.
You can call us at...
206-202-2008.
That number again?
206-202-2008.
Or you can write us at
thebadgercast.com.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. thebadgercast@gmail.com.
Oh, I can't take you anywhere, can I?
I know other things, yes.
Or you can find us where else?
badgercast.com.
Yes. Or on
Twitter or Skype.
or Facebook. By the way, we have a shout out to not only today, Heather's from the Geek and His Wife's.
Her 30th birthday. So happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday.
The kids and I left you a little message.
But also to our friends from long past who found us on Facebook this week.
Yes. Now, I have no clue if they know whether we podcast or not, but...
It should be interesting when...
It should be interesting to find out and catch up because I miss them. They're Josh's godparents and, you know...
Gosh darn it, would be good to see them again.
Yeah. You know, everybody kind of went off in life, and now that the kids are growing up and we can actually do something and we're not tied to home.
Yeah. Be good to catch up with them again.
Mm-hmm.
So
if they did find us, that would be Beth and Andy.
So we will leave you with a song from Daughtry. At least a part of a song, since it's not really Pod Save.
Hmm.
From their new album. And I'm stalling because I have to get it up here.
Have I heard this?
Sure you have.
I have. Did I like it?
Yeah.
I like most of his stuff. Mm-hmm.
I know. This is at least a part of Life After You. Till next time, this is Dale.
And Julie. Have a great night. There's a life full of laughter. Without you, God knows what I'd do.